March Madness tipped off this week, and thus begins a whirlwind few weeks of pulse-pounding collegiate basketball games and busted brackets around the country. I'm Jessica Marshall, and my bracket is already busted. How about you? Albany is once again playing host to a few rounds of the women's tournament. Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games are headed to the MVP Arena starting March 29th. And a few of those games are going to be the hottest tickets in town. Last Sunday, the NCAA announced that the number one seed Iowa Hawkeyes will play in the Albany Regional Round. If they're not eliminated in the first round of games this week, which most experts think is unlikely given how strong the team is, they're slated to play a Sweet 16 match March 30th and an Elite 8 match April 1st at the MVP Arena. Demand for tickets to those games is at a fever pitch. Tickets are going for as much as $1,300 per seat on Ticketmaster. Why, you ask? Because Iowa's team star is NCAA Division I career scoring leader Caitlin Clark, who's basically the Taylor Swift of college sports right now. MVP Arena general manager Bob Belber told the Times Union this week that the rush for tickets to see Clark play in Albany is on par with a, quote, major rock concert. Belber said they're expecting 14,000 people per day of the Albany tournament's run, which will also include two-time national champs South Carolina and Notre Dame, and defending champs LSU. I confess, I know very little about college basketball, but I have heard about the buzz surrounding Clark. Times Union sports writer Kira Santacola joins me now to talk more about who Caitlin Clark is and why her game is so hot right now. Who is Caitlin Clark? Can you kind of describe like what she's so good at?
She's a fiery competitor, first of all. So I think there's that. But it's not like in a negative way. She just really, like, she engages with the crowd, which is great because, you know, the crowd loves that. And she hits just amazing shots. Like, she performs in big moments. These are, like, the things that really people remember about athletes. You know, I don't know if you know who Steph Curry is. She is basically like Steph Curry in the women's game. Like, she can hit the same, like, she's hits the same shots that he does. She's super talented and is a leader for her team on the court, but also, like, she seems very unselfish also, like, but she'll take the shot. Like, she's not afraid to take the shot that her team needs her to take, you know? And sometimes those shots just are phenomenal, you know, and she'll make them.
That's amazing.
Guards generally, like, can shoot from outside, which she can. I mean, she can shoot from way outside, like even past the three-point line.
Wow.
Like some NBA three-pointers, and she makes it look easy.
Not more than halfway across the court kind of thing?
It almost looks like that when you're watching the game. It's like the line, she's just way past the line, and you're like, whoa.
Like, was she this good last year, and only now she's picked up, like, this, like, kind of famous following?
She's been on the radar, I would say, for the past, like, 2 years. She really came on last year, I would say, as, like, a superstar. She performed so well, like, in the postseason especially. But I was actually trying to remember when you asked, why is she so famous? I was kind of like, why is she so famous? And it occurred to me that back during the pandemic, the first March Madness was canceled. That was in 2020, literally right before the tournament was going to start, they canceled it. And then the next year, 2021, the men and the women, they were both at the same location. So it was in these bubbles that the men's tournament and the women's tournament kind of, the disparity, like the inequity between the two became really prominent.
In terms of what, like how many people were watching it or how many
reasons? No, it was a woman's Oregon player posted a photo of the pathetic weight room that they provided for the women on social media. And then there was like a photo of like the men's weight room, and it was like side by side. It was ridiculous comparison. Everyone just kind of lost their minds about it, you know? Like, they were like, this is wrong. Like, we've got to fix this. Like, from that moment on, like, people really got interested in equality as far as the NCAA tournament goes between the men and the women. That went for like their weight room. It went for like the accommodations, but it also was like their exposure. And right when this all started happening, Caitlin Clark like jumped on the scene.
Timing. It had to do with timing.
Yeah, it was everything. Cool. Everything is timing, right? So she came, and, you know, a few other players, and just like people were really, really getting behind like the women's tournament. And I think it just kind of took off from there. And, you know, obviously she's really good. So there's that, but she, you know, she kind of like embraces it too. I think like she doesn't shy away from the big stage.
That's great. But the reason why we're talking about this now is because she's actually coming to Albany to play. You know, the tickets are like, what, $1,300 or something insane to see her play in Albany? Like, what's up with that?
Okay, this is another thing. She just broke the scoring record, like the all-time scoring record. And she also declared that she's a junior, but she declared that she's not coming back to Iowa next year. So this is basically the last time you'll get to see her play college basketball.
And then what would she go on to the WNBA? Is that that's the next step in your career that you want to take sooner rather than later?
Yeah, you got to do it now while you're young, while you're at the playing the best basketball of her career, obviously. And, you know, her endorsements are going to also bring in money. You know, she already has, she's on a State Farm commercial. I don't know if you've seen it.
Shoot.
Okay, I'll shoot.
What's happening?
But I don't see any hoop.
Do you think that, you know, Caitlin Clark is going to elevate women's basketball even more, right? Because there's already momentum, you said, from the pandemic where, you know, inequalities were pointed out. But having like a solid superstar, like a Taylor Swift level superstar in the sport has to elevate it further, right?
Absolutely. I mean, look at, we had a tournament, I think we had the women's tournament here last year, but it never reached this kind of pandemonium, you know, as far as ticket sales. And so you just like, if you think about that happening like everywhere, people that can't go to the games, they're still going to watch them on TV. Everybody wants to watch her play. So the more people are watching women's basketball, it can only be a good thing for women's basketball, you know?
So people's brackets are conceivably already busted by the time we get to this weekend, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I know personally speaking, my bracket is usually busted like in the first hour. It's so hard to pick these games, like, because it's basketball. Anything can happen, you know?
Yeah, a number 16 could defeat a number one, and then half the country's, three quarters of the country's brackets are busted.
Totally.
Before we wrap up this episode, here's a little historical context for the Albany rounds of the Big Dance. Back in 1995, it played host to the men's tournament, where 14 seed Old Dominion stunned number 3 seed Villanova with a win in triple overtime. In 2003, Syracuse took the NCAA East Regional title from Oklahoma in Albany. The Orange, led by future NBA star Carmelo Anthony, went on that year to win the national championship, and there was a record-breaking 15,207 people at that Albany game. Albany's hosted the women's tournament games since 2015. You can follow our sports desk at timesunion.com or on social media to get all of the latest NCAA tourney coverage. And as always, you can read more about all of the stories and issues that we discuss on this podcast there as well. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more from inside the newsroom. The Eagle is a production of the Times Union. It's produced and edited by myself, Jessica Marshall, with help from the Times Union digital team and the newsroom. Special thanks this week to Kira Santacola and Bill Douglas for contributing to this episode.
If you're enjoying this podcast, take advantage of all the Times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union subscriber today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.